This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Before we move on from this story, and this again is about Tiger moms. And so, you know, Vivek Ramaswamy and others, Elon Musk and others, want to bring pressure on parents, and so they think that what parents should be doing is basically, Calvin, they want to bring pressure on parents. They think that their children have too many freedoms and are socially engaged more than they should be, and that they should basically be regimented into dealing with all of these other things. What many Americans heard when they listened to Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk was no more sports, no more sleepovers, no more fun. They saw Ramaswamy trying to turn Americans into a nation of tiger moms, overbearing, often Asian parents who force their children to spend endless hours on academics. You know, academic achievement is declining in the U.S., but Ramaswamy identified a real problem. Despite the poor measuring, reading and math scores among American students have been declining for years. Dozens of schools in Chicago and most of the public high schools in Baltimore recently saw none of their students test as proficient in math. China recently began to outpace the United States in the number of STEM, science, technology, engineers, and math. Doctoral degrees awarded to the students suggested that Americans might lose its competitive advantage. Let me say and respond to that in this manner. You know, America has always opened its doors for, you know, the best of the best in this world. You know, scientists, doctors, you know, in all sorts of disciplines. We've always done that. If you walk in, what are we saying? If you walk into any hospital and you look around and you see who many of the doctors are, they're not European Americans. I'm sorry, they're not. They're from all over the world. And does it matter? Does it matter whether the doctor you see or the pharmacist you're dealing with is a European American or not? That's what's at the root of this. It doesn't matter if you're sick and you need a doctor, do you care whether the person is European or whether the person's name is Omar? I don't care. And we shouldn't care. As long as there are enough qualified people wherever we get them from, what does it matter? But Calvin, you can't make people, you know, become scientists if that's not what they want to be. And to say that we need to bring pressure, this is, you know, you're talking to somebody who raised three sons. Okay? So I'm a parent. Did I force my sons? I think there's some advantage, Calvin, to young people being socially connected to the world and to other people. Isn't there some value in that?
Well, yeah, it definitely, there is value in that. I think growing up playing sports and hanging out with friends is crucial to being, because you have to interact with people in the real world too. So you need elementary, middle, and high school are times where you learn how to interact with people. But also to say that, I mean, just because these doctors or scientists aren't born in America and they aren't white, if they live in America and are contributing to the American economy, yes, they might as well be American. They are American.
Yes. It's what we've always done, man. What are we talking about? You know, I mean, this is just nonsense. Bring in whoever you need to bring in. We need all hands on deck. Hey, Mike from Kenosha, good morning to you, my friend. Always good to talk to you, man. Your thoughts?
Hey, thanks. Happy Motown Monday, man.
Yes, sir.
I can't wait for the next song to radiate through the stereo. Hey, couple things real quick. I thought, and I think your conversation here is spot on as far as Tiger parenting and what they're talking about here. And I fully support bringing in, you know, others for talent. But I got to tell you, it has an authoritarian feel to it when they talk about this. And it just seems to me, you know, again, the question we need to ask is, so are we saying that we're incapable, the United States of America is incapable of creating our own talent through our own education system? It apparently sounds like they've given up.
That's true.
You know, and it just seems to me all countries ought to be able to home grow their talent. And if there is a significant, a drop in capabilities, we have to figure out why. I think the easy solution certainly would be to, you know, hop on H-1B visas and all that, and bring them in. But again, who benefits from that cheaper labor is the corporations. Sure, we want their perspective, we want their intelligence, but I got to tell you, I don't want to give up on my own people. I don't want to, you know, give up on my own school districts.
We've got a incoming president who is supporting a person who wants to do away with the Department of Education.
Yep.
So we haven't invested in education in this country, Mike.
That's my point. That's exactly my point. And it should be a red, you know, big flag. You know, if we have to bring in hundreds of thousands aliens in order to fulfill what we need to do just to function as a nation, that's an alarm. And we need to pay attention to that stuff, and when we talk about these problems, offer solutions. I have a very hard time finding any content of any media groups that talk about any solution. It's all divide and conquer nonsense. But again, to me, what we're seeing is they're preparing for their new world order. Their new world order where it's oligarchs rule, they're unaccountable. They're too big to jail, too big to fail, too big to hold to account. And that, to me, anyway, one of, you know, a couple buckets.
Hey, Mike, hang on a second. Don't hang up. CJ, good morning to you, CJ. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. Thank God for Tiger Moms. The Department of Education is failing our kids. Only 30% can read at their grade level. So the mere fact that we have to go outside of our country is not surprising. And for you and Kelvin to say, oh, everything's just sweet and candy, yeah, 70% can't read at their grade level. So you think it's okay? Well, thank God for this president says, no, it's not okay. We're not going to say this is the status quo anymore. So if the Department of Education was successful to our kids and parents actually cared enough that their kids graduated with able to read a tape measure, that would be different, but they aren't.
Hang on. Mike, you want to respond to that?
CJ, in my classrooms, when I went to school, I had a goofball sitting in every room, but I also had a superstar sitting in every room. In the same class, in the same year, the public schools are full of, in American culture, and our population is full of superstars that came out of the education system. The problem is, CJ, is we haven't committed to be number one. We haven't committed the resources in order to keep our education at a very high premium level. If you build things that fail, they will. And that's what has happened here, CJ. Privatization is not the solution. Privatization is all about profit. It has nothing to do with the quality of education, CJ. It has to do with making money. We have to get back to the priorities of teaching our children what they need to learn and doing it the right way, not allowing calculators to do simple math. For example, CJ.
So, Mike, hang on. Mike, hang on. CJ, hang on. 855-752-4842. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. You can join the conversation.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. We're talking about, you know, tiger parents and, you know, and so, you know, tiger parenting is a form of strict parenting whereby parents are highly invested in ensuring their children's success. Specifically, tiger parents push their children to attain high levels of academic achievement or success in high status extracurricular activities. And so, listen, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk clearly saying that this is the way to go, and they want to see a change in the way parents are raising their children, and less, you know, social activities and more academic activities. And your thoughts, 855-752-4842. Let's go back to CJ. You want to respond to Mike?
Thanks again, Earl. I think the results speak for themselves.
Did you hear anything Mike said? First off, did you remember Mike talked about the fact that we're now moving education into for-profit? And so it's impacted what is going on in the public schools, which is where the majority of the students go, CJ. And so there have been less resources going into public schools and more children leaving them and going into private schools. Your thoughts? That are being paid by the taxpayers as well.
Yep, but those parents, whether they're tiger parents or not, if the school's failing and they think that's okay, they should be able to take that money that they're paying for that student, their child, and go to a school that actually gets results. And Mike doesn't talk about the results.
Hey, CJ.
Can't read.
There is no proof that the charter and voucher schools are doing any better than the public schools. Look it up. There's no proof to that.
Well,
none.
Why are they continuing to take their money and run, Earl?
Because they've been led to believe that's the case. Are you also aware, CJ, that public schools are mandated to educate every child? They don't get to pick and choose like the private schools do. Are you aware of that? No, you're not.
Yes, I am. But again, I had a kid show up on a job site that couldn't read a damn tape measure, Earl. 19 years old, just graduated high school. So you tell me, are we failing our kids?
Hey, CJ, Mike, you want to respond to that?
If a 19-year-old is having, if suddenly discovered that he's got a reading problem, that in and of itself shows that there's a significant problem. That stuff needs to be caught at third grade.
Yes, sir.
Fifth grade, not as a 19-year-old adult, for crying out loud. That's exactly the point. When you privatize education and you defund private schools, the resources go away. They don't stay put. And then you see all these charter schools that are failing at an enormous rate across America. And again, we don't hear about that. But getting back to the point, public schools, you know, there's a lot of superstars, a lot of high-performing people that come out of our public schools. So there's many, many, many success stories. It's absolutely easy to identify the ones that are struggling because they're easiest to identify. But I got to tell you, if we had the same amount of counseling, we had the same amount of resources and are committed through Head Start programs and other achievement-based education programs for our kids, we would see the results.
Mike.
They haven't. They've been waning. They've been taking away.
Mike, you talk
in education.
Man, you talked about Head Start programs that used to be on, and they used to happen regularly. You know, even what was that called, man? Sesame Street. It was free, right? And so children could watch Sesame Street and learn their basics. It was free in this country, man. Sesame Street is not free anymore. So kids can't even watch those things on television anymore. They have to have, you know, a what do you call those things, Calvin? In you know, that you have to pay to see television. I don't know.
This cable?
Yeah. I mean, you got
a subscription.
Subscription. I mean, those things, we know the impact of what Sesame Street had. It was our nation thought it was that it made sense, and they did. And they paid to make sure that happened, but not anymore. Mike, you're right. They have not invested. And it is an assault and attack on public education where the majority of the children go. Guys, hang on. 855-75. Thank you very much, Mike, as always. Hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842. We'll come right to you. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Again, Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk are saying America needs more tiger moms for the sake of our kids and for the sake of, you know, major businesses in this country. The American children aren't educated enough. And so these very same people who are opposed to immigrants coming into this country, you got to send them back. But we want, you know, those who are qualified. That's, you know, we're going to bring them in, you know. And so that's what this is, because, you know, tech giants like Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk need to have, you know, people who will be able to help their businesses grow. And so they want them in, you know. But anybody else, no. And so the problem, one of the major problems with that is, you know, yeah, you need those people with those technical skills, but, you know, the produce, the farmers, who 50% of the people who work their fields are illegal immigrants, you need them as well. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Thank you for taking my call. If you look at just getting back to the school end of things, if you look at the Ramirez family, you know, they recently purchased Cardinal Stretch, and they had a groundbreaking, which I was actually attended back in October, you know, last year, and they're doing $100 million.
I know, I'm aware.
Campus. And at the end of the day, if you look at what the Ramirez family is doing and what they have done and what they're trying to do, and they are in the top 1% academically in the state of Wisconsin as far as their schools, what they're educating their kids and what have you, I think that that's what we should be all striving for. And we should be following, you know, people that are successful, that are willing to teach any type of kid, doesn't matter what color they are, what religion they are, as long as we can get them the education that is, because that's ultimately what is going to help those individuals succeed later in life, is by getting an outstanding education.
Hey David, you know,
and if you look at the state, if you look at the state of Wisconsin, they just lowered all the standards, so it looks better for the kids.
Hey David, you know they can, they're not mandated. They're not mandated by law to educate all children. And even though you talk about the greatness of what they are doing, they can pick and choose who stays. Public schools can't, David. You can't dismiss that.
He's not picking and choosing.
They can, David. They get, if people don't meet the standard, the parents and the children, they're released, like there are in most of those schools, David.
So do me a favor, Earl. Why don't you reach out to the Ramirez Foundation?
Hey David. Let me say this to you. It's the same. It doesn't matter. Most of those private schools, they're following the same pattern as many others. Hang on. Let's bring Cassandra from Middleton in. Good morning to you, Cassandra. You say what?
Hi, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to pick up where Mike left off a few moments ago. One thing that I don't agree with concerning Tiger Moms and Vivek Ramaswamy's statement is that we have to buy into this argument that all talent is concentrated in one group of people.
Right.
And I truly don't believe that. I believe talent is widely dispersed. I believe that there are excellent STEM engineers who are Americans. There could be excellent STEM engineers in Nigeria,
yes,
the UK, all over the globe. So, and that's one issue that I have with the H-1B visa. 72% of the visa should not be appointed to just one ethnic group. That's just my personal opinion. People might disagree because I do believe that talent is widely dispersed. But what I wanted to talk about with bring up with Mike and reinforce his idea, because I am in education, and that is our the education model has shifted. It is no longer a learning model. And I hate to say this, but we have adopted a business model where, and I recall this quite succinctly, my first teaching job, and the dean set me down and she told it to me straight. She said that we follow the business model. The student is the consumer, and the consumer is always right. So we have to move away from that business model. And Earl, as you know, you and I are roughly around the same age, give or take a few years.
A century.
If you think about
a decade, not a century, a decade. But anyway, go ahead.
if you think about your formative years as a student, we did not have to bear a lot of the problems or that our students are facing.
That's
today.
True.
I can't recall a community resource officer or whatever they're calling
no.
it in my school.
No.
I don't remember walking through
metal detectors.
A metal detector.
Didn't happen.
And checking for weapons.
Didn't happen.
I don't remember practicing for a gun shooting. We did fire drills. I remember that.
We did nuclear weapons. we were concerned about nuclear holocaust. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so and I spoke about this with Sandy. We have our schools are under resourced, and we're asking them to do more with far less, and because of that, the curriculum has changed, and we are just not serving our students. And so if we are going to compete globally, and which we can, we're going to have to answer some very tough questions about number one, what is it that students should know when they walk into the classroom?
So Cassandra, so David's point that the private school is doing much better than the public school, and so, you know, as if that's the answer.
You know what? I don't believe that. I don't believe, you know what? I believe in giving parents a choice. I cannot say to some parent, don't put your child in a private school, because I don't know what the situation is with that child. But we should be investing in public education. And here's the reason why. And it will return to my point about the Asian tiger moms. I educate the sons and daughters of the tiger moms. And in class, they are very diligent students, no doubt about that. But what they have not learned is how to socially interact with others around them. And so when they start jobs, are you aware that Vivek Ramaswamy and all of the Indians that are in the news, they're the outliers. Most of the Indians, they hit what is called the bamboo ceiling. They're stuck in these mid-level management positions, and they don't move up.
So Cassandra, hang on a second. David, you want to respond to Cassandra?
Yes. If you look at the referendums that have been passed, the city of Milwaukee, around the state, there's been billions and billions of additional tax dollars that people voted for, in addition to what the normal tax rate is. The problem is this, is that a lot of kids today, unfortunately, are not getting educated because they're not even showing up to school. So if a kid is not showing up to school, and you have high truancy rates, that leads to a domino effect of where that child is automatically falling behind because they're not in class. Or who knows what that kid is doing, but that is a huge problem.
Hey Dave, do you think that the social ramifications of a child, the way they live, where they live, the social conditions that they have to deal with on a daily basis, has any bearing on educating the child?
Sure, there's some. There's,
what do you mean some?
There is a bearing on it.
But that's a major bearing on it. You can't say that children who live in war zones, who are hungry, who struggle every day to keep their lights on and a roof over their heads, are going to be excelling in education, David. Doesn't make sense. It can't happen. In some instances, yes, but for the majority of them, it's not going to happen.
Well, you're giving excuses to not having these kids in school, where the parents have to be held accountable to make sure that their kid is even showing up to school. They're getting breakfast. They're getting lunch. They offer this. There's an incentive for that kid.
Hey, David. I can only tell you, as somebody who spent 12 years volunteering this time, watching children come into the classroom setting and come to school unprepared because of the conditions that they live in. And so you want to say that's not a big deal. It's a major deal. As Cassandra said, my generation never had to deal with any of that. My generation, the teachers lived in the same community that I did. Those things matter. Cassandra, Dave, thank you very much for the call. Guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. We'll be coming right to you. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely paid the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. Pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you.
All right, and welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Let's go right back to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Hey, good morning to you, Jack. You say what, sir? Happy New Year.
Good morning. Yeah, Happy New Year, and thanks for taking my call, Earl. You may not know my background.
I know you're an educator.
I'm a retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a retired teacher, taught for over 40 years at grade levels from sixth grade up through university level. My master's is in chemistry and science education. And here's my experience with private schools. One of the private schools I taught at, I had chemistry classes. I was teaching some kids that had special needs in those classes. And I looked around to try to find someone on the staff who could give them specific help with their particular problems. When I found people that actually had preparation in those special ed areas and went to the administration, I said, look, these people need help. Can they, you know, they should be coming in to see these teachers who have the background. And they said, their attitude was, oh, I'm sorry, this is a private school. We cannot afford to do that. Now, these are people that were actually on the staff, but they basically school choice for them was they're choosing who to educate.
Right. Yes.
The other thing, which in my opinion was even worse, is this. I was teaching, again, several chemistry classes, and the administration called me in and said, you know, look, we need these kids to have better grades in your classes. Now, at that point, I had been teaching for about 15, 17 years, something like that. And I knew what standards that they should have, and you know, not to mention my academic background, of course, in order to really be considered at least adequate in my science area. And I said, well, I've done this with these kids, and I've done this, and you know, some of them aren't coming in to get the extra help, even though I'm staying after school. And the administrative attitude was, but this is a college prep institution; they need to have better grades. Well, there were two things that I did. one of which was, I took a look at the average grade point of all the kids in my classes. I made an average. It was 0.2 of a grade point higher than a very highly technical science classes that they were taking. So there was really no significant difference between their overall grades and what they were getting in my class. But I was being put under pressure to somehow make those grades better. When I was called in the second and third time, I finally said, I cannot do this, and I resigned. It's the only teaching job I have ever resigned from. But when you talk about grades and you talk about how well some of these kids are doing in private schools, there's grade inflation there, believe me.
Hey, Jack, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Tom from West Dallas. Tom, go ahead, sir.
Hey there, thank you for taking my call. I have lots to say, but don't have time to say it, so please bring this up with Sandy tomorrow. I guess what the main point I'm going to say is, you know, the Republicans are all talking about how bad kids are doing and all this stuff, but yet they look what they did to the UW system. We used to have one of the top 10 universities in the country, and now we're down in the mid to lower teens. That's thanks to Scott Walker. With school too, schools are not, they're only worried about testing and grades. They're not worried about the actual student. There are students who are not bound for college, but no longer do they offer any type of tech.
That's
any
true.
Type of woodworking, metalworking. They did that when I was in high school. They did that when I was in middle school. We had industrial arts, and we would cut little...
You're aging yourself, Tom. I had the exact same thing. I wish I had more time, man. Thank you for the call. I will bring it up with Sandy tomorrow. We'll continue the conversation. Thank you. Ann from Chippewa Falls. Ann, go ahead.
Yes, I agree with your callers. We can't put all these kids in one box. When you're socially, emotionally low income, these kids have no prior knowledge when they come to school. And we're putting them all in one box. These are your standards. Everybody has to get there. And it's push, push, push. These kids need to be allowed to play and socialize and grow on where they're at. We cannot be pushing. And as far as Steve Day and this man that didn't know math, well, you know what? I bet he wasn't college bound educated either.
Hey, Ann. And I wish I had more time. We'll continue it on tomorrow with Sandy Williams. Thank all of you who made the show go. Sorry I couldn't get to everybody, but tomorrow we'll bring it back up. Up next, Jane Matinier, Greg Bach, Calvin, thank you as always. Thank you for listening to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years. Saying, Patches, I'm dependent on your son. The poor found me through. My son, it's all left up.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.